Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday morning. Next to the last day of March already. What a strange March it has been. It is good to be with you again this morning. The blessings of fresh hot coffee in an awesome Star Wars mug can't compare to the blessings of Psalm 8 and being able to share God's word with you this morning. So I think a little bit of cabin fever started to strike my kids last night. They've been really good throughout this whole COVID quarantine thing so far, but last night, at least two out of my three kids, I won't say which ones, were feeling a bit restricted, shall we say, and frustrated at being restricted. So, and then getting that from our kids around the same time we heard from President Trump, this is going to be through the end of April, so we've got another month of this, did not make for the most encouraging evening last night. Although we had a great Bible study time at 7 o'clock with Philippians and Acts 16. It was great to see all those who came and actually be able to get into that Zoom environment where we could see each other and hear each other. That was pretty wonderful. All right, so this morning we are in Psalm 8, and that's what we're looking at this morning. This is it's a wonderful psalm of David. And as we've done in the past, I'm going to go ahead and read the whole psalm and then pray, and then we'll jump in going section by section. It's not a very long psalm. Most of the psalms aren't very long. Maybe that's one of the reasons why it's my favorite section of scripture, because, you know, my ADHD self can handle like a little snippet of scripture that I can immediately respond to and pray back to the Lord. So maybe it's also just full of wonderful things, as we'll see this morning. Psalm 8. It is to the choir master, it is according to the Gittith, and it is a psalm of David. It's classified as a creation hymn by many Bible scholars. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's pray. Father, we look to you for wisdom this morning. We look to you that your Holy Spirit, who inspired these words to David 3,000 years ago, might come and write them on our hearts. Father, illumine our understanding. Give us insight. Help us to understand, but also help us to really live and pray and walk in your words today and always. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so Psalm 8. As I said, it's written to the choir master. And this is one, it's not quite so personal from David, right? Sometimes David takes intensely personal things, like we looked at last time with Psalm 4, something that's been really a deep distress of his, and he writes a psalm to the choir master because he's inviting Israel to benefit from his struggle, right? He's inviting Israel to be joining him in his worship of God and to be blessed by the things that God has taught him. And that's not quite the case here. This is not quite as deeply personal, but it's a hymn. It's more of a, like I said, some Bible scholars classify this as a creation hymn. And it is a song of praise to God. And the opening and the closing is the same refrain, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Last night, as I was sort of winding down after the kids were in bed and Beth and I were talking a little bit, I was just sort of trying to relax, I put on a YouTube video that just has, you know, natural beauty from around the world and some quiet music on piano and guitar, just sort of relaxing. But it's just beautiful to watch that. And then I pulled up Prince Edward Island because, you know, we went there last summer on a vacation. And so I brought up this flyover video of Prince Edward Island. And it's just beautiful, right? The world is beautiful. And the world shows off the majesty of God, that he's the king, and that he's a king of beauty, and he's a king of life, and he's a king of abundance, right? You have set your glory above the heavens. God's glory, if you go out at night and it's a cloudless night and you can see the stars, especially if you're out in the country, it's just overwhelming, the number of stars. And yet God's glory is above the heavens. God's glory is greater than the vastness of our universe. And yet the next line here, he says, out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. This goes along with one of the themes we've seen in 1 Corinthians, and that is that God chooses the weak things. God chooses the small things. God chooses the foolish things to show off how great he is by giving us salvation instead of those who are great and mighty and wise and powerful in the eyes of the world. And also, when I think of these verses, I think of Jesus and the little children who would come to Jesus, you know, and they would climb on his lap and he would bless them. And his disciples got irritated and frustrated with this. And he said, let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of God. They belong in the kingdom, right? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the scholars, the rulers, Pontius Pilate, Herod, they're all outside. But these little children are inside, and that shows the power of God, and it silences the enemy. Well, then he goes on and says, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him? Again, we've all had that, I hope we all have, if you haven't, do it, but we've all had that experience of being outside at night looking at the stars and just feeling overwhelmed. And I can't imagine for David, who spent quite a bit of time in the Judean wilderness, normally fleeing from enemies, fleeing from King Saul, fleeing from his son Absalom. He spent time out in the desert wilderness of Judea 3,000 years ago, before pollution, right? Can you imagine how many stars he saw? And how small that made him feel. Who are we? What are we? I mean, I'm nothing in this scope of this creation. And yet the answer is not nothing, right? The question is, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? And the answer is not nothing. Quite the opposite. The answer is, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. So we are small, and we can feel insignificant, but the truth is that people are made in God's image. And as God's image bearers, people are given dominion over creation. We are the ones who domesticate animals. We are the ones who have zoos. We are the ones who study animals. We are the ones who manage, who have wildlife management programs. We are the ones who have forestry conservation programs. We are the ones who study the environment. We are the ones who do science and make inventions. So we can see that very clearly in the world. But there's also something that we're reminded of when we see this. COVID-19. because we are given dominion over the world, and yet we have fallen into sin because Adam chose to put himself under the dominion of Satan rather than crushing Satan as he had authority to do in honor of God. We lost some of that dominion. And that's where we see Hebrews pick up these verses and be honest with it. Hebrews chapter 2, a great chapter about why Jesus had to become fully man. He said, "Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside of his control." So just go back and look at this. Right? "You have put all things under his feet." See that? All things. All things means nothing is left out. So Hebrews says, "Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control." Sounds good, right? But there's a problem. "At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him." Cancer, COVID-19, wild animal attacks, lightning strikes, tornadoes, right? Creation is, yes, in a sense, under man's dominion because of all the things I said about science and technology and environmental management and all the things that we're able to do, but our best efforts can't really bring all of creation under subjection to us. We still die of viruses that are part of creation that we should have dominion over, but we don't yet. "At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." So Psalm 8 points us to a glorious truth of what God has done in his creation, but also points us to an inadequacy because all things are supposed to be under our feet and they're not. And so then it points us forward to look to Jesus, who is the one who is crowned with glory and honor, and that by the grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. So Jesus is the one who is reigning over. He was made for a little while lower than the heavenly beings, and yet now he is crowned with glory and honor. So Psalm 8 turns out in the end to be all about Jesus and his dominion over the world. And so while the Psalm 8 opens with a general statement of, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth," once we see that this section of Psalm 8 is fulfilled in Jesus, then when we come to the closing refrain, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth," this time we now see it in Christ. How is God's name being glorified in all the earth? It's no longer just through creation. I'm looking out my window, that's why I keep going out here. It's no longer just through creation, but it is in Christ. In Christ, who has tasted death for all those who belong to him. Christ, who was made for a little while lower than the angel, who is now crowned with glory and honor, seated at the right hand of God the Father. In Christ, the majesty of God is spreading all over the world. And that's why we should be excited about missions. That's why we should be excited about the church around the world. Because God's whole plan and purpose for creation is being made true and being brought to completion in Christ. Amen? Well, that's Psalm 8. Let's spend some time in prayer this morning, asking God to glorify his name in all the earth, and asking him to use us toward that end. Shall we? Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. We do see your majesty reflected in creation, Lord. Once our eyes are opened, once we've been brought to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, we do see your majesty on display in creation. And yet we know there are many who don't see it, many who remain blinded. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see your light and your glory. Father, we pray for those we know and love who are in blindness. We pray that this COVID-19 virus pandemic might cause them to wake up. You might use it to open their eyes, that you might show them their own mortality and frailty and their need for you and the reality of eternity. Father, we thank you for Jesus, who tasted death for us. He swallowed death so that death is no longer the enemy. We no longer need to fear death because our King has overcome. Father, we do pray for those who have lost loved ones during this COVID-19 outbreak. Got news yesterday that 90s country music singer Joe Diffie, and I remember his music from my college days, that he died of COVID-19 yesterday. And Father, we do pray for his wife and for his family and friends. I don't know where he stood with you, but I do pray that you would comfort his family with the gospel. Father, we pray for all those who are in the hospital right now who are struggling, who are on ventilators, who are fighting. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and that you would be pleased to heal them. We do pray for our frontline workers, for healthcare workers, for those who are out front engaged in this battle against COVID-19. We pray for the scientists who are doing research into vaccines and treatments. Father, we pray that effective vaccination and effective treatment would be brought about quickly. We pray for the strength and energy of these healthcare workers and for their families as they're away from them. Father, we pray for all the rest who are serving us, grocery store workers and bank workers and post office workers and delivery people and all those who are serving food in various ways and providing medicines and pharmacies. And Father, we pray that you would strengthen them and that you give them wisdom, Father, as they have important jobs to keep things clean and to try to use good precautions, Father. We do pray that you would be pleased to bring an end to this COVID-19 pandemic soon. We do pray that it would surprise the scientists how quickly things are able to be turned backward. We pray for those millions of people who have lost their jobs from COVID-19. We pray that you would provide for their needs. Father, help us to be generous and kind toward those we might know who are in distress, that we might meet their needs, that we might minister to them. Father, we look to you with thanksgiving for the gift of life that we have in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we lift up all these things before your throne of grace as your children whom you love, crying out to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much again for joining me for our morning psalms. Again, we're going to do this on Wednesday morning and Friday morning this week with two more psalms. Next week is Holy Week, so this coming Sunday is Palm Sunday. Believe it or not, I know that probably got lost in all the shuffle of what's going on, but next week is Holy Week, so I'm working on something special for next week so that we can probably not be in the psalms, but probably be talking about the final week of the life of our Lord leading up to his death and resurrection. So that's for next week. But this week we'll still be doing Psalms on Wednesday and Friday. So thank you for joining me, and may God bless you with a wonderful day. Thank you.